Our New Testament lesson comes to us from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17a. Listen to God's word. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you call us children. You claim us as your own. So draw near to us now in this time of worship. Open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, as it is every Sunday following Pentecost. Now, there may not be triangle-shaped balloons donning our sanctuary, but today is a day of celebration, where we honor and celebrate our one God who is in God's own self three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. We take a moment to revisit this doctrine developed a long time ago at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD in an effort to give voice to the divinity of Christ and the Holy Spirit while still maintaining our belief in one God. So those gathered coined the term homoousios. We should have a spelling bee following worship to see who can get that one right. So homoousios. Same substance. This phrase was their attempt to try to articulate a divine mystery about God, who is one being, but three unique relationships. One God, but three ways of relating within God's self and also to the world. We try to understand this doctrine, don't we? But we tread lightly when seeking explanations, lest we expose in the midst of our conversation, or dare I say, even from a pulpit, all that we don't know about God. And so we play around with imperfect analogies to wrap our heads around the mystery. So sometimes we say that God is like water, ice, or H2O, ice, water, and steam. But God is not a glass of water that changes form depending on the temperature. Rather, God is all three, all the time, always. Or we might be so bold as to say that God is like Pastor Randy. Father, who is one person, but who exists in different relationships all of the time. Always our pastor, always Beth's husband, always Ian and Charlotte's dad. Except the limitation to this analogy is that Pastor Randy is then relating to different people in different ways, while God relates to all of us as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer all of the time. There's a pastor who wrote of a children's message that she delivered 30 years ago when she was a seminary student and in her field education site. It was not me. My field ed was only 13 years ago or so, and it was here. So she wrote this. She sat on the steps of the chancel with the perfect object lesson to teach the kids about the Trinity. And she pulled out a banana. She said to the kids, "How many bananas am I holding?" And all of the kids said, "One." So then she proceeded to divide the banana beautifully into three equal parts. And she said to the kids, "Do I still have one banana?" So the kids debated this point. Some said, yes, you do still have one banana. Others said, no, you are holding three different bananas in your hand. So she explained to the kids, still one banana, just three equal parts. And she writes this: I launched into explaining to the kids that all three parts were equal. They all had the same amount of banana-ness as the one banana had before I separated it. The little heads nodded. I gave them all a piece of the banana to eat, and as they ate their banana pieces, I asked the fatal question. Tomorrow morning, when you have bananas on your cornflakes, what are you going to think about? She says, one angelic, little, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, dimpled, innocent three-year-old said, God is bananas. Now, Trinity Sunday is the day when we might acknowledge that this three-year-old is onto something. Perhaps God is a little bananas to operate as God does. Or perhaps we are driven a little bananas when we try to wrap our heads around something as inexplicable as the nature of God. Barbara Brown Taylor writes this about the Trinity. Who are all these people? How can God the Father be his own son? And if Jesus is God, then who is he talking to? And where does the Holy Spirit come in? Is that the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Jesus or someone different altogether? And if they're all one, then why do they come and go at different times, and how can one of them send another after them? She goes on to say, there are orthodox answers to all of these questions, but I have never entirely understood any of them. She says, I accept them as earnest human efforts to describe something that can never be described, which is the nature of God. She says, we would probably be better off if we left the whole subject alone. But if you have ever lain on your back looking up at a summer night sky full of stars, then you know just how hard that is to do. We long to understand God. We want to figure out how God works. And as Taylor says, in spite of better wisdom or even our best efforts, we just can't seem to let it go. Maybe if we could get to the bottom of who this God is, then we might figure out who we are and who we are called to be. See, we're all too familiar with human ways, finding identity through comparison, turning comparison into dividing lines. We're all too familiar with that church talk. You know, when someone says, we are in God's favor, and others nod their head knowing that means some others are not in God's favor. Or if we acknowledge and thank God that we have found acceptance in Christ, in the back of our minds we're trying to figure out who it is that has not been accepted. Or if we are loved, surely there are those who are not. And the opening verses of our New Testament text for today seem to be marching to the beat of this drum. See, Paul paints a picture first of a world that is divided, divided by flesh and spirit, sinned and saved. To live according to the flesh means death. To live according to the spirit means life. So we get our lists out. We start figuring things out, trying to sort it out and to make sense, and realizing that in spite of our best efforts to sort things out, our efforts just complicate things even more. But see, if we keep on reading, we see that the passage in Romans continues away from these lines and starts to point us to a snapshot of God. Our text is one of those rare instances in Scripture in which we see the Trinity all together in one text. Paul's letter to the church in Rome and God's word to us reminds us that the lists we feel compelled to make don't really matter much at all. See, in fact, the primary actor in our text is not any human being, not anyone trying their best to earn God's favor, but rather God's own self. And God is not dividing lines in the sand or separating people into sheep and goats, but God is loving God's people. God is loving us. See, our bearing, our works have no bearing on how God is operating. The words in the text for how humanity is acting are passive. We are led. We receive. God is the agent. The Holy Spirit is the one on the move, acting among us, through us, leading and guiding, a gift offered to all. See, Paul's portrait of God shows a Trinity at work in the world, together within God's self, working for the salvation of all. The Spirit leads and testifies within. Jesus teaches and dies and is risen to save, inheriting the hardest parts of being human so that we may inherit the best parts of being children of God. And God, the Creator, adopts us all, claiming us as God's own and naming us as beloved. So what does it boil down to? It's really quite simple. God is love. God is love within God's self. God is love reaching out into the world, and God calls us to love. Paul reminds us that through this initiative of the triune God, we and all of God's people belonged. We are claimed. We are a part of God's family. Paul juxtaposes this against the belonging of enslavement, but reminds us that we are not possessions of God, oppressed by a God under God's thumb. No, we are claimed by a God, adopted as children, loved and freed. So why does this matter at all? Well, for starters, belonging is important, isn't it? We all want to belong. It's critical for our survival as a species. We are dependent from birth on the benevolence of others who will care for us when we cannot take care of ourselves. Our safety is intertwined with the well-being of others. We live and gather in communities, and we rely on others to educate us, to offer medical care, to build an infrastructure. We need to belong. When our experience in communities is affirming, we feel safe. When it's not, we are wounded to our core. Social worker and author Brené Brown writes, "Belonging is an innate human desire to be part of something larger than ourselves." But it's not about membership. It's about connection. It's about worth. It's about acceptance of oneself and trusting that others have accepted you, not for who they want you to be, but for who you really are. And see, this matters because the message is countercultural, for we live in a world that draws dividing lines. It tries to decide who belongs and who do not, and too many cell phone videos that have made it to YouTube have reminded us that this is playing out on a larger stage. Videos that show people in public places threatening to call ICE when people are speaking Spanish in public. People who call the police on African American people waiting in Starbucks for a friend or sleeping in a Harvard dorm, the school they go to. There are messages of exclusion and denigration all around us, but Paul calls us to something different, reminding us that we do belong, all of us. We are all held in the loving embrace of a triune God. We are part of something bigger. Whenever my son was born last year, we got a card in the mail the week we got home from the hospital. This card had on it dozens of signatures and just as many notes to go with it. It was sent to us by the kids who come here on Wednesday night to Club 116. Kids ranging from kindergarten through 12th grade, writing notes of welcome to this little kid that they had never met, whose name they had just heard that day. They wrote things like, "Welcome to this crazy world," or "I can't wait to finally meet you." And a couple kids even wrote, "I love you." This past school year, my son would often accompany me to Club 116 until my husband could pick him up following work and this dance of parenthood and work and late nights and daycare. There was one night when I was teaching the kids about the story of Jesus calling the disciples from the lakeshore. And the baby in my arms was squirming and squawking, wanting to get down, wanting to do something different, losing his patience that night. So I figured out that the only way to get him to calm down would be to sing. So I said to the kids, I'm going to sing our song tonight, because I think that that's the only way that Noble will settle down. So I randomly made up a tune, started bouncing a baby to the tune, and told the story of Jesus calling the disciples from the lakeshore. And pretty soon, all of the kids sitting in that circle started to clap their hands on their lap, or clap their hands together. They started smiling at Noble and doing that wide-eyed thing where you look at babies to let them know you see them and you love them. They joined me in a song that calmed him down and let him know that disruptive or fussy or not, this little baby was welcome. In fact, he was welcome before he was even born. He was welcome before they knew his name or before they met him. He was welcomed in that room, and he would be welcomed every week. See, God welcomes us so that we too can welcome others. God has claimed us, calls us as God's own, but God sends us out that we might be instruments and agents of this love, extending God's belonging, God's love, God's hospitality to all of those we meet. What if we took our inclusion seriously and included others? What if we took the fact that God loves us so much, that God has claimed us as God's child seriously, that we shared that good news with others through songs and smiles and clapping hands? What if we trusted that God offered enough, not just for us, but for all? What if we sang this song too? Maybe we could let the world know that belonging isn't such a fragile commodity as we might make it out to be. Maybe we could remind people that there's really not much others need to do than receive it and share the good news with others. Maybe people will stop being so afraid, will calm their fussy selves down, and start to accept others who they once saw as enemies. Maybe fears will dissolve. And maybe if fears go away, so will violence and hate. Family of God, by God's grace, we belong. We belong to ourselves. We belong to each other. We belong to this world. We belong to God. May we hear that gracious song in our ears. And may we share that with others, singing the song of how the God who claims us calls us and sends us out to join in the song too, so that all will know that God loves them too. Brothers and sisters, may it be so. Amen.
People of God, please pray with me. God of grace, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, for your loving kindness and faithfulness, and your mercies which are new each and every morning. Triune Lord, we thank you for calling us together this day in this place of worship, to worship you in spirit and in truth, as your beloved people for whom you poured out your spirit to claim us as your own. Lord, on this Memorial Day Sunday, we give you thanks for all those who have served, who are serving, and those who have sacrificed their lives in the armed forces of the United States, those who have given so much and everything to defend the safety and freedom of each of us and others living in other countries. Lord, we pray justice and restoration for David and for Dan and for all those who are currently caught up in the criminal justice system. We pray for your people who are oppressed anywhere, for those who have been maligned because they seek a better life in this country. We pray for the family of the woman who was killed on the border this week, and all those who have lost their lives seeking safety, work, and a better life. And we pray your protection and reunification of the children who have been ripped from the arms of their parents as they sought to enter the United States. Lord, have mercy upon us, for we know not what we do. Lord, we pray your peace everywhere there is violence, danger, and division. We pray for equitable resolution in Israel-Palestine, for a nonviolent solution between North and South Korea, China, and the United States. We pray for sensible gun laws and an end to gun violence in schools and in neighborhoods and in homes. Lord, we have grown weary of all the divisive rhetoric and inaction that causes further separation between your people. Hateful policies that further divide the haves from the have-nots. Unjust practices that oppress people of color. And bombastic communication that encourages us to see one another as less than or not worthy, rather than as your beloved in whom there is no Greek or Jew, no black or white, male and female, no slave or free, but children of God. Beloved. Lord, we pray that you will help each of us to be purveyors of your peace. And as we lift these cares to you, all of those that have been spoken and those that remain on our hearts, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Spirit to indwell us and your Son who poured out his life for us and taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.